The people we allow in our lives will have a major influence on the directions we take. If you surround yourself with godly people, you'll have a better chance of becoming godly, but beware of the negative influences that can entice you to change course. It's time to go the second mile with negative influences. Hey, this is Travis Agnew. Thank you for joining me for the Second Mile Podcast, where we seek to live out the words of Jesus from Matthew 5:41, where he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. It is our opportunity and privilege to be able to follow Jesus as closely as possible. And that's why it is so vital for you to make sure you surround yourself with people who are heading in the same direction. Last week, I talked about how the mentality of making sure that you have positive influences and friends that are godly people that are pointing in the right direction. But now I want to talk to you today about just the subtle progression, the shift that takes place with people who are finding themselves around negative influences and are those that are actually pulling people away from Christ. And so when we think about it, one of the most important things for you to at least consider right now, if you are aware of anything that's going on in the United States of America right now, we kind of have quite the debates about what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, what should be legislated, what should be free, and you name it. And I'll say that what you're starting to see, probably like me, is that there are many people in life that will know what they believe. But when they surround themselves in a culture or with companions that believe something differently, over time, they will find what they believe to change. Over time, they'll find that their behavior changes, and it's not based upon what they know, but it's about who they're around. And within the scriptures, it really speaks about our need to make sure we have consistent relationships and also to avoid those type of people that are going to cause us to drift away from the things of the Lord. Right now, people are choosing to listen to a story and have their hearts changed compared to what does God say on a certain issue. And so if you listen to enough people and you surround yourself with people who are sympathetic to a cause that is detrimental to ourselves or against God's word, you find yourself changing your belief and changing your behavior, all because of the people that you spend the most time with. So today, I want to open up a revolutionary principle, hopefully from God's word, that will help you just to do some self-evaluation and look around you to see if you have the people in your life that are pointing you to Christ or the negative influences taking you away. When I grew up in church, if you think about the progression of our worship movements that we would have, right, is that when I first started going to church and being a part of worship, we would have hymn books and sing all of our songs by turning to page 236 or page 412, and you would go through those things, and typically the music leader would say something like, oh, verses 1, 2, and 4. I don't know, we always skip 3, but we typically would either skip 2 or 3. And with this, you would do that. Now, then we got pretty cutting edge with this thing called an overhead projector, right? I don't know if you even know what that is, but it was horrible. It was awesome at the time, but somebody had to stand up at the front of the room and have this overhead transparency that light would shine through and project on the screen, and people have to move it up and down. You'd have one page for like a whole song, and it was just scattered, and it was crazy. Then we started getting like screens and whatnot, and you could project things onto a computer, and you'd have the PowerPoint, you'd have the media shout. Now it's ProPresenter or something cool, whatever it is, right? You got all these different things to display this, but without it, you think about all the different progressions that you have in worship and all these songs that I used to sing. And then one day somebody told me that, when we sing songs, you're really singing things that are coming hopefully from truths from God's word. And then you open up and say, what was the original hymn book of the people of God? Well, that was the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms has 150 songs in it. Man, these are like chart-topping hits of the Israelites' worship hymn book. This is King David wrote many of them. Other folks wrote some, but these are the hymns that endured through the time. And so you've got incredible worship songs like Shout to the Lord that comes from a different place, or Enter His Gates, all these types of worship language. But what is unique to realize is that the first psalm doesn't even use the word worship. It really doesn't even seem like it seems at first Godward, because within the opening verses, right, the first little thing, he says it this way. He says, Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And so you would think, though, like the first worship song out the gate would be something like, you know, worship the Lord with everything you got. You know, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. But this says, blessed is the man who considers his friends, because that's typically what it's about. Now, you think maybe that seems a little bit weird to open your hymn book with. If I open up my hymn book, it might be Holy, 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 or How Great Thou Art, one of these epic hymns of just worship royalty, right? And yet, the people who can put the book of Psalms together and get all 150 songs that made the cut, they said, we want Psalm 1 to be the first one. Why is that? Because if you're going to live a lifestyle of worship, you're not going to do it unless you surround yourself with other people who want the same thing. I'll put it this way. If you don't get Psalm 1 right, you're not going to get Psalm 2 through 150 right. The other 149 are going to fall down along the way, because you might have all the devotion in the world, but due to the people that you spend the most time with, you'll find yourself not worshiping the Lord, but you'll be worshiping something else. You'll find your affections being turned to something else, all based on this relationship. So in the opening pages of Israel's hymn book, out of all the things that they could say, if you want to live a life of worship, if you want to give glory to God in your life, if you want to honor Him with the fruit of your lips and the manner of your life, you better start here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. That here's this deal of him saying, if you truly want to live a life of worship, you can't do it if you surround yourself with people who are worshiping other things. Or maybe they're just not worshipers of the Lord. But you and I know this to be true. We all worship something. And the psalmist starts this, and the compiler of all these different psalms says, before we get to any other psalm, before we get to let everything that has breath praise the Lord, you better let everyone surrounding you have the same desire. Or else, if you don't get Psalm 1 right, you're definitely not going to make it to Psalm 2. You definitely will not make it to Psalm 150. The people that you spend time with, you have to be careful of the negative influences, how they're affecting your personal devotion to the Lord Himself. So think about those three phrases: walk with the wicked, stand with the sinners, sit with scoffers. So first and foremost, walk with the wicked. This first step in the progression is someone who begins to walk in the counsel of the wicked, right? You see these verbs: walk, stand, sit. You see the progression: wicked, sinners, scoffers, three different groups of people, three different verbs. Why is it happening that way? Walk, stand, sit. The progression is eventually slowing down to a halt and a place of maintaining that the closer that you get to sinners, the more comfortable you are. So that first step, walk with the wicked, first step in the progression is someone who begins to walk literally in the counsel of the wicked. They're listening in. It doesn't say the person is necessarily wicked. The psalmist simply claims that they are listening to the advice of people who were far from God. Have you ever personally witnessed this subtle shift? I've noticed it in my life with people around me, that when a person seeks out advice from people who are far from God versus seeking godly counsel, he's well on his way to being in a very dangerous spot. The relationship in which that person has chosen to indulge is clearly taking him down a specific path. It's walking with the wicked, but then all of a sudden the walking slows down and no longer it's walking, but it's standing. It says standing with the sinners. This is the second step in this dangerous path, because now they're not walking, they are standing. Now it's not wicked, it's sinners. This person is no longer just walking beside people who do bad things. He has slowed down completely to a stop. He doesn't merely pass them on the road anymore. He's spending long periods of time with people who knowingly sinned against a holy God, and he's gotten comfortable with it. So no longer it's a walk past and keep moving. Now it's a stand. You've moved yourself to a halt because this person has more of your attention. And then the third step is what's called sit with scoffers. So walk, stand, sit. Wicked, sinners, scoffers. The final step is the most dangerous of them all, because in this step, we find the person is now sitting down in the seat of scoffers. And a scoffer is someone who mocks or shows no respect to a certain something. And it's implied here that this scoffer is one who absolutely shows zero respect to the Almighty God. Our example in this psalm is no longer just walking beside someone who does evil things. He's no longer standing with people who were characterized by sin. Now, he is comfortably sitting down with people who mock God and the biblical commands that most likely this person followed so closely at an earlier place in their life. The progression is subtle, yet deadly. And all steps occurred in the confines of relationship. This scenario is seen often when a Christian starts hanging out with people who don't esteem Jesus, and they start traveling down a slippery slope. And so this character is honestly the antithesis to the blessed man spoken of in Psalm 1. The blessed man is one who delights in the law of the Lord, who delights in his word day and night, like verse 2 says. It characterizes this person as one tree planted by streams of water in verse 3. And you know this, a tree will either flourish or fade depending upon its physical proximity and access to a sufficient water supply. The blessed man, the one who is faithful to God, knows he has to be careful about who or what he allows to speak into his life. So people who do not supremely value God cannot influence him. But God himself must influence this man or this woman, and the way that God might influence them is through the people that they surround themselves with. That's why the people who are closest to you must be closest to God. Now, in your life right now, you might be in danger of slipping in what you believe to be biblical doctrine or biblical behavior, not because you don't know what the Bible says, not because you are unclear what God expects, but because of the people that you spend the most time with. And you find yourself now, I don't know, somehow compromising what you used to believe. Maybe you feel sympathetic towards a different way of thinking, all because you're walking with the wicked, standing with the sinners, or maybe now you're even sitting with the scoffers. Make sure that you are around yourself and surrounding yourself that if you want to follow God, that you better have people in your corner and around you that want the exact same thing for their lives as well. I hope to see you on the Second Mile.